the great football legend was charged with murdering his former wife and a friend.
We will find Mr. Simpson, and we are going to bring him to justice.
KCALR, one of our LA affiliates, police believe that O.J. Simpson is in that car. The Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, Brentwood areas, where O.J. lives, where the two people killed also live.
This is the driver's side of the vehicle.
O.J. Simpson is in custody.
If you look in the back seat of the car, you will see O.J. Simpson seated between two police officers. O.J. Simpson is a murderer. Murderer.
It makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson.
You know, I don't care whether you're black, white, or green. I really don't care. The bottom line is, you got off. You're innocent. You're innocent.
Thank you.
Just did you do it?
No, I didn't. Nope. Did not do it. Then I remember I grabbed the knife. I hate to say this, but this is awkward, but I'm sorry. I know we gotta back up again. Nope. Did not do it.
I killed him. It'll be the same outcome this year.
And Kelly, you really couldn't script it any better than this.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, See Through the Script here, back with another video. And as I'm sure you've all heard by now, the football legend, broadcaster, and actor whose career soared to unparalleled heights before plummeting into the depths of infamy, O.J. Simpson, has reportedly passed away on the 10th of April due to his battle with prostate cancer. From his record-breaking days in the NFL to his charismatic presence on screen, Simpson's journey is a roller coaster of triumphs and controversies. But amidst his accolades stands the shadow of his infamous murder trial, a saga that gripped the nation and forever altered his legacy. Born Orenthal James Simpson on July 9th of 1947 at the San Francisco General Hospital to his parents Eunice and Jimmy Lee Simpson, both were hardworking individuals, doing their best to provide for their family. But their marriage was far from conventional. Jimmy, OJ's father, was a well-known drag queen in San Francisco, known by the stage name Mama Simpson. The unconventional nature of Jimmy's profession eventually led to their divorce when OJ was just 4 years old. Raised primarily by his mother, OJ learned the value of perseverance and determination from an early age. Growing up in the tough streets of Potrero Hill, OJ faced his fair share of challenges. Despite the obstacles, he attended Galileo High School, where he discovered his passion for football. OJ quickly made a name for himself as a standout athlete, showcasing his exceptional talent on the field. But it wasn't just football that caught his attention. OJ also had a thing for the dramatic arts. During his high school years, he participated in theater productions, hinting at the versatility that would define his later career. After high school, OJ continued his education and football career at the University of Southern California. He became a football sensation, earning the nickname The Juice for his electrifying playing style. It was during his time at USC that OJ also delved deeper into acting, landing roles in movies and TV shows. His charisma and charm made him a natural in front of the camera, and he quickly gained recognition both on and off the field. In 1969, OJ was drafted into the NFL by the Buffalo Bills as the first overall pick. He quickly became one of the league's top running backs, earning Pro Bowl selections and setting numerous records along the way. Off the field, OJ continued to pursue his acting career, appearing in films like The Towering Inferno and The Naked Gun series. But in 1994, OJ's life took a dark turn. His ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and friend Ron Goldman were brutally murdered, and OJ quickly became the prime suspect. The ensuing trial captivated the nation, with the infamous glove incident becoming one of the most memorable moments in legal history. Despite being acquitted of criminal charges, OJ's reputation was tarnished, and he faced numerous legal battles in the years that followed. In 2007, OJ was arrested in Las Vegas for armed robbery and kidnapping. He was sentenced to 33 years in prison, with a minimum of 9 years before he would be eligible for parole. The conviction marked a new chapter in OJ's tumultuous life, further eroding his public image. After serving 9 years in prison, OJ was granted parole and released in 2017. He tried to keep a low profile, indulging in his passion for golf and attempting to enjoy his retirement. However, the shadow of controversy continued to linger over him. OJ made headlines once again when he shared a post on social media revealing that he was battling cancer.
Now, in recent years, I unfortunately caught cancer.
While he didn't provide specifics about his conditions at the time, it was a sobering reminder of the challenges he faced in his later years. Unfortunately, OJ's battle with cancer proved to be his final challenge. On April 10, 2024, OJ Simpson passed away due to complications from prostate cancer, bringing an end to a life filled with triumphs, trials, and tribulations. I mean, love him or hate him, OJ will always be remembered as one of the most polarizing figures in American sports history. Now, when it comes to the trial of OJ Simpson, it was undoubtedly one of the most infatuating stories across the nation, with over 90 million viewers tuning into the infamous white Bronco car chase during the summer of 94, to the 150 million Americans who tuned in to the October 3rd verdict in 1995. It was a story that literally had people sitting at the edge of their seats, with emotions running rampant on both sides, as some loved the Hall of Famer. While others were convinced he was guilty.
If I was on the jury, it would be first degree on Nicole and second degree on Goldman.
However, despite the case being riddled with many inconsistencies, the media coverage of the case was so sensationalized, people couldn't even bother to keep up and had already made up their minds despite whatever happened. But meanwhile, it's worth really questioning why this case got so much coverage to begin with, as if there was an underlying message the media wanted to spread to the public. A lot of the time, people forget, not you watching though, that television has arguably been and still is the most effective form of mental programming. Literally everything on television is production and curated for our eyes, from the words spoken to the mood music in the background and everything in between. What we see is always meant to elicit some sort of emotion out of us, as emotions are literal energy in motion, and we are constantly being harvested for our energy. With the trial of OJ Simpson, it was undoubtedly doing just that with people's emotions and energy.
Many say the verdict was a message not only about Simpson's innocence, but about racism. Many say the verdict was a message not only about Simpson's innocence, but about racism. 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 Racism.
The country was split on so many levels, with race being a primary theme, as a large majority of white Americans felt OJ Simpson got away with murder, while many African Americans thought he was innocent. Now, regardless of whether you think this whole trial was a hoax or real, whether he was guilty or innocent truly doesn't matter at this point. The damage had been done. The case served its purpose of further stigmatizing the African American man in the eyes of white America, causing racial tension and division amongst the public, all at the same time giving TV networks millions on millions of dollars in advertising revenue. A quote that perfectly explains what I mean by this practically being a made-for-show trial comes from none other than William Shakespeare. Quote, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts." With that said, let's use the practice of English gematria, which involves coding letters into numbers, meaning when you spell out a word, phrase, or sentence, you're given a numerical value. These numbers are often a pattern of some sorts in line with the narrative at hand. These numerical values also get paired with the date numerology to provide additional insights into what often appears to remain unseen. All right, so starting with what I shared on Instagram the day he passed, at See Through the Script, which you should go follow your boy if you don't already. Notice the phrase used in the TMZ headline, cancer battle, matches his age of death, being the number 76. We'll get back to that number shortly. OJ Simpson passed away due to cancer on the 101st day of the year. 101 is the 26th prime number. The word cancer equates to 26. For those familiar with the channel by now, the number 38 is synonymous with death and other words of a similar meaning. OJ died on a date with 38 numerology. Going back to the phrase cancer battle for a second, notice it also equates to 104 in the ordinal cipher. This matches the date OJ died, which could be written as 10/4. Oddly enough, the NFL, where OJ left his mark, had just wrapped up their 104th season just a few months before the Hall of Famer died. I also noticed that he died exactly 13 weeks before his upcoming birthday, matching his name in the ordinal cipher written as such. Also, for those new, zeros are null in numerology. Now here is where I want to focus more on the interesting observations surrounding the infamous trial of OJ Simpson. As I was saying earlier, this trial served a purpose, and that purpose was to divide the nation, which it really did. And at the center of it all was a man by the name of Orenthal James Simpson, a name that equates to 246 and 84, like the phrase, divide the nation, which is far from a coincidence. As promised, we're back to the number 76, which was OJ's age of death. Now, this number also has a racial connotation behind it, as you can see the words on the screen that also equate to 76. Now, I've covered this stuff in a previous video titled 42 and 59 Decoded, which I strongly suggest you watch to get a much better idea of the meaning behind these numbers. But basically, there are certain numbers that are often branded on black folk in the public eye, and one of those numbers is 76. The other number that we often see is the number 59, which also matches with OJ's cause of death, to be exact, which was prostate cancer. I know someone's gonna say, well, wasn't he just old, so he just naturally died of cancer? And sure, that could be true, but this isn't the first time we've seen black entertainers die from a type of cancer that also had the number 59 behind it, alongside all the other racial shaming numbers. A recent example being Chadwick Boseman, who died of colon cancer, which also equates to 59, like his name. And he was also known for starring in the role as Jackie Robinson, who sported the infamous jersey number 42, a number I touch on in this video, which you definitely gotta watch. But on the topic of cancer, OJ's defense attorney, Johnny Cochran, died of brain cancer exactly 113 months after winning his biggest case yet with OJ Simpson, whose name equates to 113. And on top of that, I noticed his cause of death aligned with the date numerology of his death. You can see that brain cancer equates to the number 88 and 209, like the number 29 using the rules of numerology. So boom, you can see that March 29th is the 88th day of the year, which happens to be the 29th day of the month during a non-leap year. Anyway, another number I touch on in that video is the number 32, which matches the word Negro. And of course, OJ wore the jersey number 32. This honestly reminds me of how Jackie wore the number 42, a harsh number for black folks, as you'll come to see. During the trial of OJ, it was reported that Los Angeles homicide detective Mark Furman used the N-word approximately 42 goddamn times. Now, ain't it convenient that the racial slur equates to 42 in the most pure cipher? I assure you the media puts this information out on purpose. Plus, I mean, who the hell is really counting? And to add to that, the phrase racial slur also equates to 42 in the same freaking cipher, along with a bunch of other relevant examples you can go check out in that video. Moving away from the racial side of things, a number we talk about in the gematria community is the number 113, widely considered to be the number of deception as it's associated with many words that imply falsehoods. I mean, it's quite convenient that OJ Simpson equates to the number 113, like the date his ex-wife and her friend were stabbed to death and the news became the mainstream's hot-pressing topic for years to come. It's worth noting that the phrase scripted narrative equates to 113, which I very much am confident that this whole scenario was, but hey, do what you will with that. Now, aside from OJ's ex-wife, Nicole, the third prominent character in this story was the friend Ron Goldman, whose name holds the value of 113 like OJ Simpson. I also thought it was interesting that OJ was acquitted a year and 113 days from the death of Ron and Nicole. Just another instance of that same number popping up throughout the story fed to us. But on top of that, there was the infamous white Bronco car chase, broadcasted by the mainstream media publications, pulling in millions of viewers across the nation on June 17th, 1994. June 17th can be written as 6/17, like the number 617, which happens to be the 113th prime number, which we just discussed syncs with OJ Simpson and Ron Goldman, along with the number of deception, going back to the list you see here. So this whole story really got serious on the 12th of June, 1994, the day Nicole and Ron were found dead outside of Nicole's Los Angeles home. June 12th leaves 202 days in the year, and this number matches with the value of the phrase scripted narrative.
Many say the verdict was a message not only about Simpson's innocence, but about racism.
June 12th was also the 163rd day of the year. 163 is the 38th prime number, matching the words murder, death, and a bunch of other related words. What I found to be wild was that the narrative they ran with was that Nicole and her friend Ron Goldman were stabbed to death. This phrase holds the value of 126 in the English ordinal, and they so happen to get stabbed to death on the 12th of June, a date that can be written 12/6, like the number 126. To me, this is further implying that this was all curated carefully by the numbers and other means, of course. But of course, despite being acquitted, many would run with the narrative that OJ Simpson was indeed a certified murderer.
OJ Simpson's a murderer.
Nope, did not do it.
And it's quite convenient that his full name matches with what most people know him for, despite not being charged, at least in a criminal court. All right, but real quick, I just want to turn your attention to two key figures in the trial of OJ, which was the judge, Lance Ito, and OJ's main defense attorney, who we talked about earlier, Johnny Cochran, the same man that dropped that infamous quote throughout the trial.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Both of these men's names hold the value of 137, a number tied to the word mind control. And of course, for those that watch the videos often, you guys know that 137 is the 33rd prime number, 33 being a master number in numerology, and a number with tons of occult meaning behind it. Many people link it to the Freemasons and the 33rd degree. Others associate it with a form of numerical programming through media. I mean, the number has tons of meanings, and if you want to know more about it, check out this video that I did on it a while back. The number 33 would appear in headlines with OJ many times over the years. For one, his surname Simpson equates to 33, along with the phrase actor. It's worth reminding y'all that despite being known for his athletic skills, we did discuss that he was an actor, and from my perspective, he played his role quite well throughout this televised trial. However, despite being acquitted in the criminal trial of 95, just 2 years later in 97, the Goldman family took OJ to court in a civil trial where he was found liable. In civil cases, the standard of proof is lower, allowing the jury to reach a decision based on the majority of evidence rather than beyond a reasonable doubt, resulting in a fine of $33.5 million. Then 10 years later in 2007, OJ Simpson was charged with armed robbery and kidnapping in connection with an incident at a Las Vegas hotel casino, leading to the judge sentencing OJ to 33 years in prison with eligibility for parole in 9 years, which was in 2017. So those are just a few of the 33 examples you could find throughout OJ Simpson's career. I'm sure there are tons more. Lastly, how convenient is it that the word acquitted equates to 37, when in fact, October 3rd, 1995, the date that he actually was acquitted, had date numerology of the number 37? I mean, there's honestly just so much other things one could probably find if they kept digging, and more things will eventually come out. I did just see a headline claiming that OJ had people visiting him on his deathbed sign NDAs, which to me just sounds like another spin to the narrative to keep the people wondering. Then what about how exactly 13 years later to the day OJ was acquitted for the murders of Nicole and Ron, he would be found guilty on 12 charges in the robbery case? And remember, OJ Simpson equates to 130, and using the rules of numerology, we're left with the number 13, and this pitfall in his life happened exactly 13 years after a previously big moment in his life. But guys, I'm gonna wrap this one up here. I hope that you guys enjoyed the video. Regardless of what people think, I still gotta drop an RIP out of respect for OJ. Be sure to support your boy by dropping a comment and telling me what I missed, and also drop your thoughts on this trial. I'd honestly love to hear it. Oh yeah, don't forget to like this video, share it, and most importantly, subscribe, man. Remember, all of those things are free to do. Spin your boy's script, and I'm out of here. Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace.